The Lord be with you.
And
with reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John, led them up a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses. They were conversing with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus in reply, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came casting a shadow over them, and the cloud came a voice. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Suddenly looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The Gospel of the Lord. The beautiful passage of the Transfiguration offers much food for thought, and I'd like to just glean one idea and try to develop this in my message this afternoon. And it's the following, that Jesus willed with all of his heart to have good friends. I repeat, Jesus willed with all of his heart to have good friends. Don't forget that Jesus is God, but also he's man. He had 12 were the best friends. But of the 12, there were 3 that were the inner circle. They were the best of the best. Of those 3, he had 2 best friends. Who were they? It was Peter and John. Who was Jesus' best friend? John was Jesus' best friend. He did have his favorites. He did. And of course, his favorite woman, of course, was the Blessed Mother. Of course. But Jesus had Peter and John was his best friend. So I'd like to talk a little bit about the whole concept of friendship. Ever since I was a child, I always was fascinated by friends. I always had good friends in New York, New Jersey, wherever I moved. My parents would move every 7 years. But I was always able, thanks be to God, to establish good friends. Okay, on a human level, how many people here are married? Don't be ashamed, okay? There's some people very sheepishly raising their hand, not wanting to be seen. I'm pulling your leg a little bit, no? St. Thomas Aquinas says, on a human level, the strongest friendship exists between man and woman, husband and wife. St. Thomas Aquinas, who's the greatest thinker in the Catholic Church. Now, you who are married, Think about your courtship. You could spend an hour on the phone, 2 hours on the phone, 3 hours on the phone, and your parents got angry, right? And on the weekends, as you got closer to being engaged, you could spend the whole weekend together. You could go out and maybe dance the whole night, huh? Your restaurant, it wasn't a 15-minute coffee break, but it's a 3-hour conversation, which is the way it should be for people who have chosen the marriage state. And finally, he gave you the ring, you said yes, and then within 6 months, 9 months, you were married, and you started to form your family. But look at all the details of that friendship of a boyfriend-girlfriend which culminates in marriage. There's a lot of energy that's placed in that. Emotional, intellectual, moral, spiritual, there's a lot. Especially those who take marriage seriously. A lot. Okay, let's apply that now to our friendship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Especially those who are preparing to get receive their sacraments, you should recognize, look, our religion has rules. But listen, basically our Catholic religion is a love affair. Amen? I could never fall in love with rules, but I can fall in love easily with these three persons, Jesus, Mary, and Saint Joseph. Amen? Falling in love with Jesus and Mary and Saint Joseph, I think it's the easiest thing in the world if you get to know them. If you get to know them. So let's go through steps on how our friends here, as well as we who have already received the sacraments, can grow in friendship with Christ. Because that's where the rubber hits the road. If it's only legalism, you're probably going to give up the faith. But if it's a love affair, you're going to be faithful to the end. Amen? Okay, number one. If you love a person on a human level, let's start with the negative. You're going to try to avoid everything in your power to avoid hurting the person that you love. Right? I think that's common sense. You know something bothers your fiancé or your spouse, you don't want to do that because you don't want to hurt that person. So if you love God, you're going to do all underneath the heavens to avoid hurting God. That means trying to avoid sin. Amen? We're all sinners, but we have to try to avoid it. We have to avoid it. We have to sometimes fight against it. Fight against our bad tendencies. We're all sons of Adam and Eve, right? And all these bad tendencies. Number two. Now what I'm saying, I'm not insulting your intelligence because what I'm saying is so obvious, but sometimes we forget the obvious. You cannot love someone you don't know. How can you love Jesus if you don't know him? Impossible. Can you love a UFO? Can you? I can't. Can you love an ethereal cloud in the sky? Some of you have heard of Aristotle. You know what Aristotle's definition of God is? It's the coldest, indifferent definition I've ever heard. Aristotle says that God is the unmoved mover. Talk about an impersonal definition. The unmoved mover, the greatest philosopher possibly in the mundo. He wasn't a Catholic. Jesus wasn't even born yet. So how are you going to get to know Jesus Christ? What is this? This is the Word of God. So whether or not we're preparing to receive the sacraments or not, we have to read and meditate upon the Word of God. Amen? In the Catechism of the Catholic Church says that the Magna Carta, or the center of the Bible, are the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Anyone ever comes to me, Father, where should I start reading the Bible? Should I start with the book of Genesis, the Old Testament? No. No. Where should you start, Father? Father, where should I start? Where should I start with the Gospels? Start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then after that, Father, I'll tell you. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then after that, Father, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. First, you read them three times. It's so important. It's so important. You start with the Gospel, okay, then you go into the Acts and the letters of Paul, and then you go in the Old Testament, but start with the very heart. The very center of the Bible is the Gospel, because that is Jesus Christ. But don't just read as if you're reading, you know, the Wall Street Journal or a comic book, you know. Read, because what's the best definition of the Bible? The Word of God. Great definition. Someone asks you, what's the Bible? It's the Word of God. Great definition. So, read, think, talk, and live out. Those are the steps of meditation. Read. Read. Think about what its meaning is. Talk to Jesus. Talk to Him as your best friend. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. And then you got to live it out. If you don't live it out, that's hypocrisy. You're living a double life. As we say in New York, you're a $3 bill. Okay? You know what that means? You're a fake. Okay? You have to live out what you're praying over. Next step. If you want to establish a friendship with Jesus Christ, you have to spend time, like the boyfriend and the girlfriend. You who are married, I'm sure you sat down at a restaurant there, you had a cup of coffee, and you were shooting the breeze for 2 hours. And before you know it, wow, it's already 2 hours, I gotta go to work, no? Wow, I wanted to spend more time with you. Wouldn't that be great? If we were spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, we were there for 3 hours, and oh, I gotta go to work, it's already 12 noon, I gotta be at work at 12:20, and I'm 30 minutes away, oh boy. Wouldn't that be great if we're so absorbed in talking with Jesus Christ, we lost concept of time? Well, that's called an ecstasy. Ecstasy, you lose concept of time and what's going around you because you're so enthralled, you're so absorbed in that conversation. I'm going to pray that one day that will happen to you. It happened to me also. We're so enthralled with Jesus Christ that we don't want to leave Him. He's like a magnet. He's like a magnet to us. Amen? So you want to grow in friendship, you got to talk with Him. And it's kind of funny, ironic. Prayer is the easiest thing in the world, but it's the hardest. It's the easiest because you can pray any time, any place, anywhere, any circumstance. Use whatever language you want. Jesus is always like this. He is. Every time you want to talk to Jesus is like this. He's listening to you, your words, but He's reading your heart.
how humble God is.
But the problem is, once we want to pray, the devil comes, and all these distractions come. Pray later, another time, you're kind of tired, do it tomorrow, first have to cut the grass, you know, you gotta eat this thing, you gotta help out that person. All hell breaks loose with all these distractions, and they come from the devil. And you know it. And when people say, I don't have time, that's a misnomer. It's a misnomer. Why? Because we all have 24 hours. And it's a question of priorities. What's most important? God should be number one. Okay, last but not least. Last but not least. Okay, this is a universal concept in all cultures. Latino culture, Asian culture, American culture, what I'm going to say now, it's universal. If you invite me to your house to have a meal, what is the symbolic meaning behind that? You're opening up the door to friendship, right? Hello? Inviting someone to a meal, indirectly, implicitly saying, I want you to be my friend. So my last point is this. Invite Jesus to enter into your home. Your interior home. You know what that is? That's your soul in Holy Communion. That's the greatest gesture underneath the heavens, is to be able to invite Jesus Christ into the very depths of your soul. So I hope you try to follow my advice. Avoid sin. Get to know Jesus. Read the Word of God. Talk to Him. He's your best friend. Talk to Him. He's your best friend. And receive Jesus Christ into the depths of your heart. And I say one more thing. Love those whom Jesus loved most. Love Mary. If you love Mary, you're going to be loving Jesus with your whole heart, mind, and soul. So I'm going to be praying for all of you today. And my prayer for all of you is this. I'm going to pray that starting today, Jesus Christ is going to be your best friend. And if He's your best friend in time, He'll be your best friend forever in heaven. Amen.